Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. It's Tuesday night, and this is what I call the Kenny and Rob podcast. My name is Kenneth Hodge, and I got my partner with me, Robert Frost. We are both members of Local 304, National Postal Mail Handlers Union, and we're going to attempt to share a little more information with you as it lends itself to injuries at work. Hey, good evening, Robert. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, Kenny. Thank you.
Okay, always a pleasure. Hey, and you know, I was approached by one or two new employees last week about my podcast. So I gave them the information to get on, but I told them, in addition to my Monday, Tuesday morning, my Tuesday night podcast on injury compensation is just as important as what I put out during the day, because that's pretty much my campaign stuff. But tonight what I want to do is we're going to revisit an issue that we've spoken about many times, and we're going to go into a live scenario as far as I got hurt at work and I don't know what to do. So without further ado, tonight's podcast is I got hurt at work and I don't know what to do. Okay, so I'm young. I like that. The story starts off real good already. I'm a young mail handler. I come to work. Let's just say for the sake of conversation, I'm an MHA. I've been there about a year and a half, but I got hurt at work. And our first thing is I'm afraid to tell somebody because they told me if I get hurt, I could get fired. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to present the scenario and Rob will give us the responses. Okay, I'm at work last night and I'm pulling three APCs from the dock to the flat unit and I feel a sharp pain in my back. What should be my first course of action, Robert?
First course of action is tell your supervisor. All right. And then, all right, go ahead.
Okay, so well, after I tell him, then I just go back to work or what? So, you know, because I know for a fact I told him. So I tell him, then I just go back to work?
No. All right. When you tell him you're hurt, he's supposed to send you up to the tour office or the supervisor's room, whichever, and take the information. He's also supposed to give you the opportunity to write a statement. And if he doesn't give you the opportunity to write a statement, go to the tour office and get some paper and a pen and write your statement. Make sure you date it and make sure you sign it. All right. If anybody witnessed what happened, get them to sign it also.
So just to make sure, so I'm pulling these APCs from the dock to the flat, to the old 10 unit and I hurt my back. I got to go through all of that. So once I tell the supervisor, I got to tell the supervisor and write a statement?
Yes. If you do not, your claim could be denied. It really depends on the claims examiner at workers' comp whether they want to deny it because you didn't write a statement. But the supervisor has to give you the opportunity to write that statement.
Okay, and again, I just keep asking the same question in different formats because I'm really trying to set a point to these employees. And that, you got to understand, once you tell that supervisor, that's not the end of it. There's actions that you have to take. And that's why I just put the same question in different format, because that's very important. Okay, so I went and told my supervisor. They sent me up to the tour office. Now, you know, it is hurting. I don't know if I really want to go to the hospital because I don't want to lose my job.
All right, first things first. You're not going to lose your job. You were injured doing what you were told to do, although they could write you up for doing it incorrectly. But it's not going to cost you your job. If they threaten you with that, demand a union steward. Right, they cannot fire you for getting hurt on the job unless it was so egregiously careless of you that they have no choice. Simply pulling some APCs and hurting your back is not grounds for firing. Yes, it's a lot of paperwork, but go through with the paperwork.
But since they told me in orientation that I should never pull any equipment, I should only push it. So am I going to be at fault? And then you sure they can't fire me?
It depends on your supervisor, truthfully, on how they interpret it. Most of the supervisors I've worked with won't pay any attention to whether you were pulling or pushing, just that you got hurt. All right. Yes, the post office can write you up for pulling instead of pushing. However, you know, I can't really speak to that on what will happen, just that they cannot fire you for it.
Okay.
Especially if it's your first time.
Okay, so now I'm at the tour office. Do I have to go to the hospital?
You do not have to go to the hospital. You can write a statement saying, I do not wish to seek medical attention at this time. But the key words there are at this time. Because tomorrow when you get up, you may not be able to move. And then you'll have to go to the doctor. All right? And if your injury is serious enough, they're going to call the squad, and they'll probably call the squad anyway, the emergency squad. And you can choose to go to whichever hospital the squad is going to take you to, or you can direct the squad to take it to a hospital that you prefer to go to, within reason. If you're injured at City Gate, it really should be somewhere in the city limits. You know, if you live in Chillicothe and you want them to take you to a hospital in Chillicothe, they're probably not going to do that. Because the emergency situation for the squads is that they're licensed for basically the city.
So I can choose what? Which hospital I go to?
Yes. And typically they'll give you a choice of three. Personally, I don't like any of the hospitals here in Columbus, but, you know, each person has their own choice.
Okay. So I went to this, again, and I'm just going to keep recapping as we go down, again, and this is more for the benefit of our our newer employees. So I'm an MHA. I got hurt at work. I went and told my supervisor. My supervisor sent me up to the tour office. My supervisor sent me to the tour office to fill out some forms. I make a decision on whether or not I'm going to go to the hospital. If I'm going to go to the hospital, I get to choose which hospital within reason. So that's where we are right now. Now I get to the hospital, and they want my insurance. I'm sorry.
Hang on a minute. Before you even leave the building. All right, the supervisor should be pulling up a CA-10 instructions when injured. If they're not doing that, you need to let them know they should. Because it tells them what forms they've got to have for you. All right. And then you also need the copy of the CA-20. That's for the attending physician's report. You also need a copy of...
Let me
answer. What?
When you said a CA-10, I never heard of that form. I heard of the CA-1 and the CA-2. But what is that CA-10 going to do for me?
The CA-10 is the instructions from workers' comp telling the supervisor what forms need to be filled out and what forms need to go to the doctor, essentially. All right. For example, I'll read the title off. CA-10 is what a federal employee should do when injured at work. You report to your supervisor. You obtain medical care. Ask your supervisor before you obtain medical treatment to authorize medical treatment by use of the form CA-16. Okay? That form tells the doctor and the hospital they're going to get paid even if your claim is denied. They will get paid for that visit. You have to take that with you. And you should also have a copy of the OWCP-1500/HCFA. All right. That is for insurance. Now, I'll also point out, never tell a doctor for a work-related injury anything about your insurance, even if you have insurance through the post office. Because they will bill your insurance, and it'll take you forever to get that money refunded from workers' comp.
What if the doctor... So, if the doctor continually asks me for my insurance, but I give them the CA form, what if they still want my insurance? How do I not give it to them?
You just tell them, I'm not going to give it to you. It's a workers' comp injury. That's how you will be paid. They won't like it, but they will go with it. I know, I've done that twice.
Yeah, because, you know, if they've got that CA-16, that guarantees them payment. So, I mean, why any medical practitioner would be reluctant to take that was beyond my wildest, except for the fact, they are just so conditioned to asking you for your health insurance information. And that's the only thing I can make out of why they would still press that. So I'm at the doctor now. No, I'm sorry, go ahead, Rob. Pick up. You left over the CA-16.
Right. You've got the CA-16. Excuse me. That form needs to be filled out by your supervisor. Because at the moment, he's the only one who can print it off. All right. Soon, I hope to have a copy of it for my own records. And then if they don't give it to you, then I can. Then you need the CA-20, the attending physician's report. This is where they're going to do x-rays or whatever. They're going to tell the post office and workers' comp exactly what they did when they examined you. They're going to put down code numbers and things so that workers' comp knows what to pay. Because workers' comp will only pay for certain things. By that I mean, for example, if you have to have an x-ray, but they send you for an MRI, workers' comp's going to make that, they're going to deny that because the MRI wasn't needed. Now, if it's a deep body injury, for example, like you tore your rotator cuff or something happened inside the core of your body, an MRI is going to be needed, that kind of thing that workers' comp will pay for. It's the MRI is a fine detail form of x-ray. Much better than a standard x-ray. That's why it costs more. And then make sure you take the CA-20 with you because most of the hospitals now do not have them. They stop they stop filling them out unless you bring it with you. And also have a copy of the CA-17 duty status report. This report tells the post office, and it's filled out by the doctor. Okay, on the right-hand side, The left-hand side is filled out by the post office. All right. This tells the post office whether you're going to be limited in what you can do or if you can go back to full duty. It also tells the post office for how long you're going to be on limited duty if you are on limited duty. Now, your supervisor should be filling the left-hand side from Section 7. They should be filling that in before they send the form with you. Because what's going to happen is if they don't, most hospitals will either cross off, you know, put a big X on that Section 7 on the left side, and then when you send it into workers' comp, workers' comp's going to deny it because it's an inaccurate form.
So, so you're saying, filled out. So on that 17, if this, because most of the time, times when I see that form, the patient takes it to the doctor fills in their part, and then the post office puts their part in. So that form has got to be filled out by the postal service before you take it to your doctor?
It should be. It does not have to be. It depends on the nature of your injury and how severe it is. Okay? But regardless, the form does have to go with you to the hospital or to your doctor, whichever, depending on when you actually go. But yeah, the all of the information for what you normally do for each day at work, the supervisor is supposed to fill it out before he sends it off with you. Now, the nature of your injury may preclude that. It may be so severe they got to get you out right away. So they'll send a blank form with you other than maybe put your name in it and the date of injury. All right. And then when you get back or whenever you can report into work, can finish filling the information out if necessary. Although I don't recommend that. It's always best to fill it out before you go.
Okay.
All right. Once you've got all of that, then also ask the supervisor for a CA-1. This is a claim for continuation of pay. If your doctor takes you off work for any length of time, more than 3 days, you need this form. Because this is how you're going to get paid until workers' comp starts paying you. This form is good for, you have to have filed it within 30 days of the injury, and you have 45 days of pay after you file. It'll cover, like I said, except for the first 3 days of the injury, it'll cover everything up through 45 days from that point. And then workers' comp will start paying you. If you don't get this form, you'll be sitting at home a month later wondering, why haven't I been paid? And it's because the post office screwed it up and then didn't give you this form.
So
now, all of these forms, when you're done with the doctor, all of these forms need to come back to the supervisor so they can submit them properly. What was your question?
So it sounds like that the CA-1, you know, we talked about a lot of forms, but the CA-1 is the initial form that gets my claim started. Now, everything else that we talked about will get me treated immediately. But now, if I'm looking at this injury being more than just tonight, meaning I'm going to have recurring pain or whatever, we want to get that CA-1 filled out that officially reports an accident, and it gives you date, time, so that you're going to anything else that comes of your injury. You got to have the CA-1 in to document that it initially happened. Is that kind of correct?
No, the CA-1 is actually a secondary form. Your CA-20 and the CA-17 are actually the ones that start your case because you have to have the doctor's information. The CA-1 is so you get paid when you're off work.
So when I get injured, and they're going to take me to the hospital, there's no rush for me filling out a CA-1 right now?
No. Like I said, you've got up to 30 days to file it.
Let me.
And typically, typically, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Typically, your HRM will contact you about the CA, the CA one. If they don't, then you need to find out who your HRM is with the post office, and contact them and say, "What about my continuance of pay?"
And let me tell you, podcast audience, that little scenario about the questions with the CA one, that was purposeful, because the post office will give you a CA one before they give you a CA 16, 17, a CA 20. It is very important that you understand, I don't have to do this right now. There's other things that I can be taken care of. And that's what that whole thing was about, because I'm telling you, in the post office, if you get hurt and there's any kind of medical treatment going to take place, before they call the ambulance, they're going to get you a CA-1, and you have 30 days to file that form. That's what's so important. So you can, we can get back to the CA-1, but right now, let's make sure we've got that 16, the 20. We got the necessary papers to get me immediate treatment.
Exactly. And to be quite honest, no one will mention, at least in my experience, the CA one until it's almost ready to expire. And then you'll have a day to 3 days to rush in and get the information into your HRM so that you actually get it. But by then you've waited almost 30 days without pay. Because both of the times I've been seriously hurt and taken off work for more than a week, no one mentioned continuous pay to me. I had to find out by accident.
And that's one of the reasons why I guess they're in such a rush to see. Now I had the exact opposite experience with that, but my experience with the CA-1 being that's a form that they shove on you, and if you don't complete it, then the supervisor completes it for you because they want that CA-1 done within 24 hours of the accident. That I know to be a fact. So
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I'm just letting folks know, if you can't fill that CA-1 out right now on the day of injury, there is no reason for your supervisor to fill that form out for you when you have 30 days to submit it. That's just one of those things that the post office does, thinking they're being super efficient, and they're really violating your rights. Well, let me put another spin on that, Ralph. Say I got hurt at work. I'm just going to, same scenario, and I went and I told my supervisor, but I didn't want to go up to the tour office. Maybe I'm going to be, I'm a weightlifter. I'm going to be all right. I go home, and now this back is killing me to the point I can't even get out of bed. Now, do I have to wait to try to make it to work the next day before I can get any kind of medical?
No. You can go to a urgent care clinic and be seen. Now, again, you really should have a copy of the CA-20 and the CA-17 with you. All right. But it kind of depends on the emergency room. You have to be very specific when you go in there. You have to tell them this is going to be a federal workers' comp case, U.S. Department of Labor workers' comp, because otherwise they automatically assume it's a civilian or state claim, and they'll file it through the wrong place, and then they'll start sending you bills. All right. The emergency room or urgent care clinic that you go to, tell them you need a copy of the federal CA-20 and the copy of this federal CA-17 and insist that they print it up for you. They won't want to. They'll say they don't know how, but all they got to do is go to the Department of Labor website.
So,
I mean, if I can figure it out, they can.
So let me make sure I heard you right. And again, if I go home, I reported the injury to my supervisor, and then I go home for the day. I don't have any paperwork with me. I don't have anything because I'm thinking, Yeah, just hit the twins. It'll be all right. 1 o'clock in the morning, that twins becomes like I'm rolling around on the floor. You're saying with no paperwork, I can go to the hospital and they'll print out these forms for me to be seen?
They are supposed to, yes.
Okay.
Some of them will be very adamant about not wanting to. We don't use those forms. It doesn't matter if they use them or not. If they want to get paid, they got to do it.
But would this be one of those instances where, because if I'm in pain, I can't really go back and forth with these folks about you going to accept this or not. Would this be one of those instances where you would use your health insurance? And if you had to do that, can you get compensated for that?
If you really, really feel comfortable trying it, yes, use your health insurance. And yes, you can be reimbursed for it. But like I said, it could take anywhere from 3 to 6 months to get the money back. The other thing you can do if they refuse, for example, the CA-20 and the CA-17, is next day when you go back to work, you tell your supervisor you need copies of them and get the forms back to your wherever you went for your treatment and have them fill them out. Okay? And then turn them back into your supervisor. If you go to the emergency room or an urgent care clinic after hours, meaning when you're not out at work, then you still have to notify your supervisor that you did so that they can do the proper paperwork.
Okay. So, I got you. So now if I left work, I'm home, I'm hurt, after hours, I go to the hospital, I ask them to print these forms out for me, and I get treatment, and everything goes smoothly. I'm required to report that to my supervisor, so then we can go ahead and initiate, if they haven't already, the CA-1 and other forms. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Hey, it's in today's postal service, what we do has far-reaching effects on how we feel later in life. And when we first started these podcasts, I let people know FICA protects us and it gives us rights under labor laws, but you have to be aware of these rights and you have to know what we're talking about because if you get hurt at work, you not knowing is going to affect you and your family in the years to come. And that's all we're trying to do is provide a platform of knowing. And again, even if what we talk about here only wets your palate, then you should develop your own crave for knowledge and seek the rest of this information. Because let me tell you, if you work the system properly, injury compensation, I mean, if you get hurt, it's there for you. But you have to understand how to navigate, and we're trying to help you do that. Hey, we got about 90 seconds before we end, Rob. Any closing words for today?
Some good news. Some of the MDOs are actually starting to approach me about sending people who are injured to me to help them with their work, their paperwork. And I said yes. So if your MDO suggests you come see me, please do. I'm back in the transportation office.
Hey, and again, every time I hear you say that, man, that's just selfless service. This man has a skill to understand and help you and break down injury compensation for you. He is a fellow mail handler, a fellow federal employee, offering of his time to make sure you get good instructions. It don't get any better than that, man. Hey, so listen, this is co-producer Ken Hodge, branch president of Local 304, and Robert Frost, a member of Local 304, on the Kenny and Rob Show, always trying to be informative with respect to injury compensation. Hey, listen, join the podcast, tune in on Tuesday night, We're only going to give you information that is designed to help you. Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night.